Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger has seen it all in Philadelphia sports, although I can't imagine he's ever seen a better team in Philly sports history that specializes in the ugly win, and the Diddy joins us right now. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Joe, and you're right. It was ugly, but I'll take an ugly win over an ugly loss.
I agree.
I've certainly seen my share of those, too.
Or a moral defeat. Or what's it called? A moral victory. Moral victory, yeah. The moral victory is annoying at times.
All right. Moral defeat.
Yeah, moral defeat. I don't know what that would be. So, Ray, what's your biggest takeaway? We're going to get into the AJ thing. There's a lot there. But what is your biggest takeaway from the game itself?
Well, I mean, if you want to go glass half full, you start with the fact that they won. And you start with the fact that they're 4-0. You know, we were asking a lot of the same kinds of questions 4 weeks into last season. But we were sitting at 2-2 then. You got some of the same issues now, but now you're 4-0. I mean, yeah. You found a way to win those games now, which you didn't do last year.
Sure.
You found a way to win in Tampa, which you certainly didn't do last year. So if you want to do the line down the middle of the column and the pluses on one side, that's the plus side. The other side is just the crazy swings with this team that we've seen. You know, I mean, that this is 2 weeks in a row now that it's like you played two different games in one day. You know, the Rams game, you didn't show up until the second half, and then the second half you're unstoppable. Yesterday, you come out, and offensively, you're watching us and saying, damn, they're running some pretty good stuff here. You know, you thought that they were really kind of coming into their own. They were creating some things, running some things we hadn't seen before effectively, really dominating the game. And then in the second half, just completely goes away. And
in the second half, your
offense just disappeared.
So what explains it, Ray?
I don't know if there's a logical explanation. I really don't. I think, well, the one thing you can logically explain is the fact that the defense just got tired in the second half, which I fully understand. The offense was never on the field. The offense was 3 and out, what, 5 times out of like 7 possessions. They had one possession that lasted 12 seconds.
Oh.
And so on a day when it's 100 degrees and 95% humidity, the defense was on the field the whole second half. So in the second half, you say, well, the tackling was poor and the defense looked – well, I can kind of understand that.
Totally.
They were just tired.
Now, that part makes sense, but how does the offense go from
– Yeah, the offense is the one that you really have to sit down and look at the film and figure out where did it go. Because it started so well, and then it just disappeared in the second half. I don't know. But, now, you're 4-0. You're one of only two undefeated teams in the league. It's you and Buffalo. Statistically, you're sitting in a pretty good spot. But you can't – this part is not sustainable. That A.J. Brown, 2 catches for 7 yards. Saquon Barkley averaging under 3 yards a carry. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that – It's very nice to say they keep finding ways to win, but those are your key guys. If the end game here is to try and get back and win another Super Bowl, you can't do it getting that little production from those players.
Finding ways to win. That's interesting. I was always told when I was a rookie starting, I was always reminded, hey, for every rookie that you start, you lose a game. Like that, this is like some old adage that I supposedly knew, but I was reminded every week. Yesterday we had Makuba making, I don't even know what he was looking at, a mistake that cost us a touchdown, the long one to Abuka. And we had a Jihad Campbell, in coverage. I don't know if you'd say that's a mistake or not.
It's also a long time to have to cover.
Really,
I mean, the
hard
line.
Really, really tough ask there. But what do you make of that? Two young guys out there, two big plays. Mm-hmm. Was that youth? Was that correctable? Is that all right? Recoverable, that sort of thing?
Correctable for sure. I mean, you're talking about two quality players, you know, your first and second round draft choice, guys who you know have the ability, who were just kind of figuring it out. I mean, Campbell, you're right about the one coverage. I think that's just a tough assignment for him to ask him to do that. But at the end of the game,
it was a flat route, and then it was a scramble drill where Bucky Irving said, you know what? I'm gone. Try to stay with me. And that's, I don't know. I mean, I know Jihad Campbell can run a 4.3 supposedly.
Right.
But that's still, it's hard to anticipate.
It's a very hard play. But to his credit, then late in the game, he comes up with a huge interception in the end zone, which kills a drive, which actually helps save the day.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I look at those two guys and I have very little doubt that they're going to be really good players. And right now, they're still just trying to figure it out. The fact that Campbell was able to shake off that one play and come back and make a really big play in the fourth quarter, I think is indication of the kind of player that he is and that he's going to be. The more that those two guys play, the better they're going to get. I have no long-term doubts about them. But some of the other stuff to me is really concerning. I mean, it really is. I mean, we've always just sort of accepted as a fact of life that the Eagles' offensive line is great. And it's the best offensive line in football, and they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage every time they line up. I don't know if that's so true right now. I know you've got some injury issues, but right now a lot of what's happening on offense, to me, goes back to the offensive line and to some degree the play calling. But I think that this team is not dominating at the line of scrimmage the way it has in the past.
Can you tell who's struggling the most?
Well, compared to what you've seen them do in the past, I think Dickerson... But I understand it because I think he's playing with some significant injuries. He's trying to play through it. Lane Johnson now 2 weeks in a row has been out. And when you lose him, you lose a lot. Steen was actually playing pretty well, and then you lost him yesterday. I mean, last year, one of the things that really helped this team once they came out of the 2-2 and got it rolling was that they had real continuity on the offensive line. I mean, they had the five starters played every game, and they just got better and better and better towards the end, where they were just dominating everybody. Mm. Not true now. And the one question that everybody seems to be asking, which I understand looking at the numbers, is there something wrong with Barkley? You know, is there something? I mean, some people offered the cautionary view that, you know, running backs historically, you go back through history, that have a year like he had last year, they aren't the same player next year. That you just don't come back from that right away. So everybody's kind of looking for that. Honestly, Joe, I don't see it. I don't see that he's lost a step. I don't see that he's running any differently. I mean, the production. I mean, last year he's averaging 6 yards a carry. Now he's averaging less than half of that. So clearly something's
at
work.
Let's look at yards before contact. Let's look at that stat. I don't even know what that stat is this year compared to last year.
I love how John says, let's look at it, but I don't know it. I get your point, though, John. Clearly, it hasn't been the same.
Let's conceptualize that. It is very clear that he is not, there's nowhere close to the same distance between him and defenders when he gets the ball.
Very obvious.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that that I was thinking, and it's just my armchair coaching thing, but this was particularly true through the Rams game, was Man, I know this coaching staff loves the 12 and 13 personnel. I know they love double tight ends. I know they love three tight ends. They love to do that. But to me, if you go with that formation heavy a lot, which they like to do, you tighten up your own formation by definition. It's tight ends. And I think that makes it, if a defense wants to attack the line of scrimmage and shut down the running lanes, I actually think if you go multiple tight ends, you kind of help them do that because you're bringing everybody together. I would like to see maybe less of that and more three wides and spread the field a little bit and create a little bit more room. You know, maybe that would help you get out of the log jam. But when you go double tight end or three tight ends, you're kind of bunching up the formation. I think you're making it easier for teams to play the interior.
All right, Ray, so there's a whole nother wing to examine from yesterday. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. This is a treat with Ray in studio. Normally Ray's over the phone with us, but in studio today. Seth Joyner from 9 to 10 and phone calls throughout the show. So Ray, let's get to what is, I believe, going to be the dominant topic, at least for the next couple of days, until the Phillies really sort of resurface at the end of the week before their playoff game on Saturday. So, and by the way, we're going to have Rob Thompson on the show on Wednesday. Let me say that right now. Rob Thompson will be on the show Wednesday at this time. 8 o'clock Wednesday for Rob Thompson. We look forward to that. Nick Sirianni likely tomorrow at 8:40. We look forward to that. All right, Ray. A.J. Brown, after the game. It's about 2.5 hours after the game. And he posts the following on social media. I'm curious your reaction and how big you think the ramifications will be moving forward. He says, if you are not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. What is the Ray Didinger interpretation of what AJ did and what it means?
Oh, I don't know. I think I would interpret that. Look, I'm sure he's not happy. You know, I'm sure he's not happy now. I kind of thought or hoped that the second half of last week's game against the Rams was kind of okay. It's coming out party. Okay, and you saw how he's a receiver who can take over a game.
He's a receiver that could catch 120 passes in a different offense.
Absolutely.
He could be right there with CeeDee Lamb and Chase, and he could have the 120 to 130. He could annually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he comes off that game, 6 catches, well over 100 yards, makes big plays that helps you come back and win. You think that's kind of a breakthrough for him and the offense. Then you come out yesterday, and he's a non-factor. And listen, it's not for a lack of trying to get him the ball. They targeted him 9 times, 2 catches. So there's something amiss there. There's no question about that. And he can't possibly be happy about that.
His targets over the last 3 games, there were 10, there were 9, there were 8.
Yeah.
It's not for a lack of trying, but why? What's the problem with the tries, Ray? You know, why is it that it seems like he's covered every time we're trying? Is that on him? Is that on Kevin Petullo for not giving him more help getting open downfield? What's the issue?
I don't know. I mean, that's one of the things I kind of want to look at. I kind of have to go back and log where he lined up, how much they move him around. Mm-hmm. That's got to be part of it. Because, you know, when defenses are coming into games to play the Eagles, they start with a couple of things. They start with the idea they can't let Barkley run for 150 yards. That's number one. We can't let.
They sure have mastered that part.
That part they've figured out. The other part of it is we can't let AJ Brown dominate the passing game. And the other part is we can't let Hurts hurt us with big plays running the ball. And so far, teams have been able to neutralize that to a large degree, with the exception of the second half of the Rams game, when you went hurry up, you went tempo, and you got into a rhythm. I understand some people are saying, well, why didn't they go hurry up yesterday? I think part of it, you don't want to go hurry up yesterday when it's 180 degrees.
Well, and you have a big lead. I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah,
it's so exhausting. It just first of all, the hurry up, even when you're in great shape, it's so taxing, especially for those guys on the outside. Think of what you're asking your wide receivers to do. You know, they're running full speed, I don't know, 30 yards downfield, then sprinting back because you got to get back to the line of scrimmage, and it's fast. It's the hurry up. doing it in those conditions, I think, is just asking too much.
Yeah, and I understood that. I mean, yes. I heard some people say, well, they should go hurry up here. Look at how good it worked last week. Well, every week's different. And yeah. And if you want to run hurry up in Tampa Bay for four quarters, I don't think so.
That would just be so much to ask.
But one of the things that, and this is one of the things they have to figure out, is...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
One of the reasons they have to get the running game going, just because they want to be a running team, I think that's the way they're built. That's what they have to do to win. But you have a game like yesterday where you are fully in command at halftime. That's when you just come out in the second half, you just lean on your running game. You just run the ball, you just eat up clock, you just control everything. And when you can't do that, when you can't count on that, having that ability that we got the big lead, we're just going to run it second half and control it, not turn the ball over, we're going to control the clock. That's the formula for winning. But right now the running game is the state that the running game's in, you can't lean on that.
Well, I'll go as far as to say this. When it's not Jalen running the ball or the occasional backup running back that pops 10 yards, they're a bad running team right now. Now, it doesn't mean they will be the rest of the season, but to this point, four games in, they're a bad running team. And that's shocking.
Yeah, I thought that one of the things that I found really head-scratching about yesterday's game was that in the first half, one of the things I thought was there was a certain amount of, to me, predictability about the offense by formation that they kind of are telling you what they want to do. I thought that was very true through three games. One of the things I found really encouraging yesterday was in the first half, the offense was real different. I mean, they showed you some things they hadn't shown before and had
off
real success
tush,
doing it. Off the tush push and other things, formation-wise, motion-wise. Okay, that's different. I get it. And at the end of the half, you're saying, man, I think they kind of figured it out here. They had some issues, but I think they got it figured out. And then in the second half, it just goes away. And it almost cost you the game.
Sure did. All right, so I want to get to some audio post-game. Ray, you were on the Comcast post-game show for years, now NBC Sports Philadelphia. Got some audio of Jason Avant and Jaws after the game talking about A.J. Brown. Curious your reaction, their assessment of what's going on with A.J. There's a lot in here. Listen to this. We'll get Ray's opinion.
I have to say this about A.J. Brown. I have to say this about it, is that A.J. Brown is being played like a receiver that can't run anymore. The secondary is looking at A.J. Brown like a guy that is reluctant to go by them, and that's what's happening. They're sitting on routes. Yep. So that's something that A.J. Brown has to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing in order to get this type of coverage? But they're playing him like his name is Jason Avant out there running go routes. You can't do that, right? So I think A.J. Brown has to do a little bit better when it comes to coming off the ball every single time. That third down late in the game, the last time they had the ball, or, you know, significant had the ball, it was an out route. First of all, he oversplit, meaning he split too wide, and it was an out route against zero coverage, and then he quit on a route. So you can't do those things, and that's something that if A.J. Brown wants the ball, you have to run the routes the right way and also come off the ball so guys don't sit
up. But he still has it in him to do it the way he's always done.
I don't know that. I think that's what Jason's saying. Maybe he does that because the go routes, you got to go to get the box for the quarterback. In other words, when you get it out of your stance, you don't get to that sideline. You got to take it upfield so the quarterback can take you away from where that defender is. The balls he was throwing deep, he was right in the sideline. There was no window for Jalen Hurts to stick that ball into, no box to throw into, and the balls are out of bounds. There wasn't an area, some air under where he could throw the football.
Well, see, listen, I'm just saying how the defense is playing him.
Right.
Right? Whether A.J. Brown can do it or not, the defense is saying that you can't run by me. And that's the way they're playing. They're playing him like that.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. So, Ray, if A.J. was already in a bad mood, and he was, now this week he's going to deal with not one but two notable former Eagles questioning a few elements of his game. One, how truly great he is anymore. Two, whether he's trying his hardest. But to be fair, Avant, I think, is also alluding to he's running the routes that the coaches are drawing up, and maybe defenders are defending him the way they are because they know he's not going to go elsewhere because there's predictability to the offense. What is your assessment of what you just heard and as it relates to what you saw?
Yeah. It's interesting observations. I mean, this is the same guy we saw take over the game a week ago.
I think it's totally in there, right? Totally in there. Yeah. I don't think A.J. Brown just fell off a cliff as an incredible athlete.
Yeah. Like, he didn't all of a sudden get old and feeble on Wednesday.
Not at all.
You know, I mean, that's – so there's something else that's wrong here. I remember listening to Jaws and Jason there, it took me back to a time that I got in trouble for saying something very similar about Irving Fryer in the later stages of his career. Because I'm looking at his production, and I'm looking at how defenses are playing him, and it's a whole lot different than the way they were playing him before. And what the defense was telling you was, I don't think he can beat me, and I'm just going to play him the way I want to play him because he can't run by me. And to me, it was real obvious. And I said it on the air, and Irving Fryer got incredibly pissed off at me and called me at work and reamed me out and said, you don't know what you're talking about. But the fact of the matter was, it was true, because sometimes the defense does tell you the state of the guy they're playing.
But there are other reasons why a defense could be playing in this way. There could not be time for a double move. You know, like if you've got a DB playing off and right, just like what we were talking about, third and 10, he's playing at 10. And he knows that you're not going to try to run by him because your offensive line has two guards who are struggling. One's a replacement. You've got a replacement right tackle as well. And you know that your D-line, you don't even have to blitz. Their stunts are getting home. You know, it doesn't make any sense to cover any farther than what's directly in front of you. Because there just won't be time.
Well, again, this comes back to predictability and the possibility the Eagles' offense is just too predictable. Yes. Ray, if you had to guess, do you think A.J. is more frustrated with the coaches or Jalen Hurts?
Oh, the coaches.
I agree with you.
I like the coaches. Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
And I understand it. Look, when you have a player like that, there's always a way to figure out what the defense is doing and still maximize his ability, which is anybody that saw the Rams game, you know that this guy's capable of doing. If defense is going to give you 10 yards, take 10 yards. I mean, it doesn't have to be. AJ could make the deep play, but he was never Tariq Hill. I mean, his game was taking those balls, breaking a tackle, and turning an 8-yard throw into a 28-yard gain. He can still do that.
And it's up for the coaches from week to week to look at the opponent, how they play, what my guys are, and how do I maximize their ability. And it's still there. I just think right now, and boy, this is really the only time this year so far through four games where you could say this offense demonstrated a rhythm to what they were doing is the second half of the Rams game. And at the beginning of yesterday's game, it seemed to carry over, and you thought, wow, I think they've kind of figured it out. And then in the second half, it just went away. And they, I know at 4-0, I give them credit, man. No, it's only nobody else in the NFC is there, but they have to figure this out going forward. They have to figure this out. If the idea is to go back to the Super Bowl and win it, you're not going to do it with Saquon Barkley averaging 2 yards a carry and A.J. Brown catching two balls a game. You're just not.
Well, and I'll add this, particularly when you consider last year they were winning ugly often and did win the Super Bowl. It can occur. But the prior year, they were winning ugly often and had an all-time collapse.
Absolutely right.
Like, last year isn't the only template we have in our back pocket as fans to know in the last 2 years what can occur.
Oh, sure.
I mean, 2 years ago, it was, wow, that was a strange win. That was a strange win. That was a strange win.
Right.
And it caught up with them.
It was, and I remember the three of us had that conversation right after the Buffalo game that got them to 10-1. I mean, you looked at that Buffalo game. Buffalo had the ball for like 48 minutes. I mean, statistically, yeah. Buffalo owned that game. And somehow the Eagles came back, won the game, got to 10-1.
Yep.
And all you heard was, this team finds a way to win. This team refuses to lose. And I remember saying to you guys, I said, fellas, 10-1, that's a great achievement. I said, but this is not sustainable. And if they don't play better next week, the San Francisco 49ers are going to run this team out of the stadium.
Mm.
Well, it turned out that's what happened.
They did.
And then they never recovered from that.
Correct.
I don't know if we're standing on the edge of the same kind of precipice right now, but I think that the coaches have a lot of work to do.
Yep.
They have to figure out. I think Vic knows what he wants to do in defense. I think the defense is going to be fine. But I think the offensive staff has to really sit down and look at where they are and figure out ways to play 60 minutes of football instead of 30.
Ray, can you hang out for a few more minutes with us?
Sure.
Take some calls. Some extended time with the Diddy. Let's go to the phones. Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, all. 4-0. Yay.
Yes, indeed, Mike.
No, it's more than a sarcastic yay, Mike. It's an achievement. And let me say this.
It is an achievement.
And James brought this up earlier, and it's worth repeating. They just got through in the first half of the season the tough part of the first half of the season scheduling-wise.
Look at the next four games.
Yeah.
They are a little bit of a reprieve.
I mean, they could.
I'm not saying they're easy.
No, but I mean,
it is a notch down from the level of competition for the first month.
They certainly could get to 8-0. I mean, I would actually tell you they're probably more likely to be 8-0 than not. So there's still a lot of excellence here and that they can build upon. But it is strange the way, again, I'll just say, as I said earlier, I've never seen an elite team win uglier more consistently. It's really astounding.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is a massive achievement. I think every single person would have loved to just seen them come out 4-0, you know, by hook or crook, no matter how. 4-0 is 4-0. But I'm also looking ahead like where Ray is, and I think Ray nailed it. Because, Joe, if you remember, we said at the very beginning of the season, what was our biggest concern? The offensive line. And here we are, the offensive line.
Not for me, it wasn't. It was the corner. It was the other corner and the other safety. Wasn't the offensive line for me at all. Now, listen, maybe I should have been more aware of the Dickerson injury can affect them early in the year. You know, maybe I should have dwelled more on that. Listen, I'm very encouraged by the fact, unless the injuries linger, that
it's
Ray thinks the biggest thing up there, if I interpret it right, what you said, is Dickerson's banged up and Lane's banged up.
For sure.
So if you get that right, you can get very much back on track there.
Joe.
But sometimes those injuries do linger and you don't get back on track.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yes, Mike.
How do injuries get healed? By rest. Unless we're going to rest these guys, they're not going to get better. It's just going to continue because you're going to be bad.
Not always. Sometimes.
What kind of injury? We're talking like with Landon with his knee. His job is to be pushing people around, and he's got a bad knee.
Listen, Mike, let me tell you something. I can't. And Mike, good call, bud. I can't tell you that it might not be a good idea to sit those two guys next week. Might be. I don't know. You play the Denver Broncos. Chances are you probably beat them, but you play with fire if you don't have those guys. I mean, Ray, would you, based on what you've seen, would you consider saying, "Hey, Landon Dickerson, 14 days from now is your next game"? Don't need you next week. Is that on the table for you to consider?
It's a tough evaluation.
Thursday night game coming up after the Broncos game, too, is another factor you could consider.
Gotcha.
Think about what you're risking. You're putting...
You're risking losing a game.
Jalen Hurts? No, you're risking Jalen Hurts.
You're not wrong.
I don't want to deprive him of his A-gap protection.
No, listen, I wouldn't know which is the right answer because, I mean, I'm not inside Dickerson's body and I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, clearly, he's not right. I mean, that's pretty obvious, and clearly Lane's not right.
Right.
I mean, Lane's in and out and in and out. And I mean, it's almost got a Jason Peters like thing right now. Let's.
I agree, but I mean the.
You're right. I mean, seriously. I hate to say that, but
hasn't happened 25 times. It's only happened
have
twice.
Not been able to depend on Lane these last two games for I don't know. It feels like the majority of the game.
Look, he's injured. He's injured.
He's banged up, and it might be the same injury that is exacerbated, which makes it even scarier. Like, man, this could really be a problem.
Could
if
be.
It's keeping him out of games like this.
Yeah, I know. I think that I will say this. I have to give them their due. I mean, at the beginning of the season, when I saw the schedule, I would have bet, and I'm not a betting man, but I would have bet that they would have lost one of the first four games.
Totally
I
agree.
Expected you know, us to the lose schedule, this
I
did, game.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't.
I
think,
expected it.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be 4-0, but the fact is they are, and they've achieved it somehow.
Yeah.
But if
and that is an achievement,
no question. And what are they 20 of the last 21s?
Yeah.
I mean that just doesn't happen in the National Football League. It just doesn't happen, and they have accomplished all of that, and so. You know, when we sit here and we're critical of this and we're critical of that, I think people sometimes get angry and say, well, why don't you look at what they've done? And I'm not trying to take anything away from anything they've accomplished because they've accomplished what very few teams in football have ever accomplished and no Eagles team in history has ever accomplished. So I give them full credit for that. But if you look at the way these games are teetering back and forth and there's these crazy shifts just within the game, you understand as a football person that coaches have to look at this and say, no, this isn't good. Yeah. We have to figure this out because teams like that don't win championships. If your idea is to win a championship, then you have to clean that part up. Teams generally win championships by being really consistent. And one area where the Eagles have been really consistent, and it's helped them tremendously, is they're not turning the ball over. And they are really good inside the red zone. I mean, that's really kind of how you win the game yesterday. You score every time you're in the red zone. You shut them out every time they're in the red zone. The Eagles are kind of winning in the margins, is what the Bill Parcells expression, winning in the margins. And that's kind of what they're doing.
All right, Ray, before we get you out of here, let's get you on the Phils. So, by the way, James, on the Mets losing, I mean, how beautiful is that?
Oh, it's the best. I woke up this morning with a smile on my face because of the Mets losing.
And, Ray, don't you love that the Phillies could be playing the Reds in 5 days?
That's amazing.
Right?
I mean...
Maybe.
Oh, well, there's a possibility. You know, listen...
Heck yeah.
You get past the Dodgers starters, that bullpen... Their bullpens are train wrecks.
And look, it's a best of three. I mean, the Dodgers could face the worst team in baseball and lose a best of three. It happens all the time in baseball.
And also, don't forget, coupled with the Cowboys and the Packers tying at 40. I mean, I said to myself, you know what? Because I was annoyed at the Eagles game, but I went... the Mets and the Cowboys, that was a pretty good day yesterday.
It is.
And especially because the Mets had a chance. Like, if they had just won the game, they would have been in the playoffs. It makes it that much sweeter.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so Ray, your outlook. This is now the fourth crack for this group, essentially. No Wheeler. Your outlook for the Phillies as they embark on postseason opportunity number four?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not overly optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. What always worries me about this Phillies team is their propensity to just go cold offensively, to just shut down offensively. And that can happen anytime. But I think the addition they made of Duran has really changed the equation here. I mean, before, if you have an offense that can be in and out and you combine it with an uncertain bullpen, that's not a formula for postseason success. But I think this guy gives you a weapon now that you didn't have before. I thought it was a great acquisition. And if you look back over Philly's history, they've only won two World Series. And the two teams that won were very different in the way they were built. I mean, just the simple difference between the 80 team that had Pete Rose at first base and the –
and the 08 team that had Ryan Howard. Right. I mean, you talk about two different players.
Yeah.
But that kind of reflects the difference in the teams. But the one thing that those two teams had in common was they had an absolute lockdown guy for the ninth inning. You know, the 80 team had Tug, who was on probably the best run of his career. And then the 08 team had Lidge, who was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the one thing that both teams had. And now they have a guy who's capable of that same kind of dominance, which in the postseason, that's what you have to have, especially the way baseball is played right now. So
he's capable of that sort of dominance.
Yeah.
Let's hope he, you know, it's more than the flash and the, you know, the.
Oh, it's more than the light show.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't many guys who can throw like he can.
Not at all. But I wonder if the fact that he throws so many strikes works against him sometimes, because he is so in the zone. You know, I just don't understand how sometimes guys hit him and guys hit him out of the park.
Well, as Ben Davis said, he thinks his off speed is not off speed enough. He thinks it's too hard. Ben actually said something interesting to us last week, right? He thinks that he doesn't vary up his fastball and off-speed stuff enough, and so that hitters aren't thrown off timing-wise sometimes. Could be.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. John, the 0-2 pitches that are in the strike zone, like those two issues.
Yeah.
You know, look, he's not Mariano Rivera. He's a great pitcher, but he's not Rivera. And so
No one is.
And no one is.
And no one is. But this guy, I mean, he is scary in the ninth inning. I mean, if he's throwing at 102, 103, yeah. I mean, how do you get around on
that? But I agree with where you started with your Phillies commentary, Ray. To me, it's going to come down to the bats.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to come down to the bats. Because I think the pitching is going to be pretty darn good. You know, it's going to be pretty darn good. But are the Stotts, the Marshes, Trey, who stunk last year in October, Bader, who's been incredible, but you don't know if it continues. Like, do those guys, enough of them come through? That's the key.
I really do think that's where it begins. And listen, the Phillies are a different kind of team in that this is their moment. Their moment is now. Yeah. This is not a young team that you're saying, well, we could come back and do it multiple years. No, if they're going to do it, they have to do it now. But I do think they have the personnel to do it.
The Diddy, Ray Dittinger, every Monday with us. We love his reaction on the Eagles and obviously a Phillies preview. Ray, have a great week, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it.
And I'm expecting you Saturday. Citizens Bank Park, rally towel in your hands, going freaking wild. All right? I need the Diddy to rev it up for Red October.
They've got to get to the 29. Can the Eagles keep them short? This is the play of the game. Each play becomes bigger and bigger. Snap to Mayfield. He's back. He's being chased. He fires. He completes it short of the first down. Now the ball is being batted around and knocked out of bounds, but the Eagles are going to take over on downs.
Yeah, Eagles get it done yesterday. Very typical win in that it's ugly, but it's a W. They specialize in that. Good morning to you. Hope you're having a good start to your day. We ask you the Twitter poll question, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. You can check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question from yesterday's game. Are you thinking more about the positives or the negatives? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Frankly, I am thinking more about the positives than the negatives. But I will tell you this. I think I'm thinking even more about A.J. Brown than any of it right now. I mean, this is the first time where I've really wondered whether he'll be on the team. No, not really wondered, because I thought it a little bit last year. But this is the most that I've wondered whether he'll be on the team next year. I mean, you know, what you just read, that speaks to me like a player that, despite all the winning, may just want out.
Yeah, he's just unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, we called it. I mean, we talked about it, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago? Yeah. We talked about it for 2 years.
Yeah. But I'm talking specifically with this season.
I know.
You know, with nothing there. It's just, we knew it was coming. It was just a matter of when.
James, how do they put this back into the...
The toothpaste in the tube,
yeah,
as they say.
How do they do that, James? Yeah.
Look, I mean, we don't have to go that far back to see a situation where A.J. Brown was upset with his role and it all worked out fine. You know, it was last year. So I am not going to freak out or overreact to this in the moment, because we've had these moments with A.J. where he seems frustrated, this and that, and then it all works out. But it is definitely like... It bugs me, honestly.
I mean,
they're 4-0. This team's 4-0. You just won a Super Bowl. Like, you have not lost in a calendar year. Today, a year ago, was when they lost in Tampa Bay. That was the last time you lost a game that Jalen Hurts started and finished. Like, I get it. You want the ball. I get it. But, like, keep it in-house. Go to Kevin Petullo. Go to Nick Sirianni. Go to Jalen. Be like, we have to fix this. Don't tweet it out and make it something that we're talking about instead of the team being 4-0.
So,
only two teams in football are 4-0, man.
Yeah, here's the one thing I'll say. I agree with certainly a lot of what you said, but I give them more grace than I think you do because I understand the frustration, I think, even more than you do. And I just, you know, what you said about go to Petullo, I think part of what he wrote indicates he has and is not being listened to.
I get that, yeah.
That's a problem. I mean, John, would you agree with this statement? I'm not saying it's likely he's not here next week or likely he's not here next year, but wouldn't you say this is the most that his tenure as an Eagle remaining with the Eagles feels in question? I mean, there's never been a point where I felt like he really might not be on the team next year. Now I'm starting to think he really might not be on the team next year.
My mind doesn't go to that. My mind is in the here and now, like, what on earth can be done? It seems very simple.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Well, we just saw last week they had a connection offensively, these two. It doesn't seem that difficult to be able to connect.
Yeah.
Aerially,
but take Puka. It's got to AJ. The Puka Nacua thing's got to drive him nuts. The Puka Nacua yesterday gets another like 8 for 170 or something.
13.
Okay,
he's got an like. I think that drives AJ.
No, I know, but I think that
that's
just gets,
part of our issue.
I think it drives him freaking nuts.
Yeah,
I think it drives him nuts. Tyreek Hill the last few years, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb. I think that stuff probably drives AJ nuts. And I can understand that.
We have
he's of
Saquon
that ilk.
Barkley running the football. And right now, it's really frustrating because that run game is stalling out more than we've ever seen. But we have a Rolls Royce in Saquon. He's a huge part of the offense.
If he still is.
We need to balance this thing up somehow because he is going to be the priority. Jalen and Saquon, and then, you know, that grows from there. And I do think you have to bear that in mind. Like, we are run based.
Yeah, but they might shift, John.
We can very easily shift.
Yeah, they might.
But I do think we have to do more of both in the extreme in order to open up this run a little bit. Let's get deep and take some risks, which Jalen, right. Look, Jalen's, what, 241 straight attempts without an interception that leads the NFL. He doesn't take risks. Part of the blame here, and I'm not blaming Jalen for a whole lot, because I like what he does out there, and I do think he's got a lot on his plate and he's managing it all so well. But Jalen could take more risks. You know, he's not putting the ball in harm's way under any circumstance, which is part of why we win all the time.
Well,
he won't let go of that thing. If, you know, let's say AJ, there's a chance that ball might be deflected or something.
I agree.
Jalen will err to the side of conservative.
I agree.
And I think that's probably part of what makes it frustrating for AJ.
Well, the question is, how will Sirianni and Hurts handle this one? Because this is a new wing, and I would say this is the biggest wing of the AJ complaint thing over the last few years. And
wing.
Yeah. I mean, this is not him sitting on the bench pouting at the end of the Eagles' 38-7 victory over the Giants in that playoff game in 2022. This is more serious. This is more serious, in my opinion. We'll talk to Sirianni, we would think, tomorrow at 8:40. We don't have that fully confirmed yet, but that's always when he joins us after a Sunday 1 o'clock game. So I would expect Sirianni tomorrow at this time. Let's go to Rashid right now. Rashid, good morning. Rashid is not there. Let's talk to Gino in Northeast Philly. Hi, Gino.
Morning, guys.
What's going on, Gino?
Hi, Gino.
I just wanted to say, so I get that you're allowed to criticize and critique, and, you know, obviously there's things that to be annoyed about, but I really, really think that a large portion of this fan base and a lot of guys at the station, frankly, have become very spoiled Eagles fans. This is the greatest era of Eagles football we've ever had.
Yes, it is.
And it's just constant complaining.
We're 20-1. We're 20-1 over the last 21
21-1 in our last 22 games. Or
is it 21?
Our last 20-1, yes.
Yeah, 20-1.
I hear the complaints a lot more than I hear the positives, is what I'm saying.
Well, Gino,
I don't know if that's fair in all circles, but I think it's a mistake if that's the case.
Obviously not all circles, John. I'm saying a lot of people, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, Gino, I largely agree with your point. I will say a few things. Number one, very notable that one of the absolute best players on the team, A.J. Brown himself, is complaining. So, you know, let's remember that reality. Gino, hang on. One more thing. And number two, part of what is frustrating, and I know some of this is sports is tough and the Bucs aren't bad, but how can they look so great at times, and then so horrendous at times? Like, we asked that to Ray, who I think is the wisest person since Yoda and Obi-Wan, and he couldn't quite figure it out. And so that, I hear you, there is a bent toward negativity, but part of it is it's just so confounding of how a team could have such a dichotomy in their performance. It's really weird.
And I will say this. Listen, that was dumb for AJ to tweet that, because even though I can see why he's a little frustrated, keep it in-house. And, you know, because here's the thing. Not only is it going to turn into, you know, this and that. Like, there's already been, not so much you guys, but I'm sure you've seen it, like, guys on national shows been saying – for weeks now, AJ is going to want to be traded at some point, which, first off, they don't even know what they're talking about, because AJ can't be traded. He would be like a $70 million dead cap hit if they trade him. So people just say stuff just to say stuff.
Well, Gino, here's what I'll say about it. He could be traded.
They said the same thing about Carson.
And they said the same thing about Carson. And this is, in my opinion, the most code red it's been. It's the most code, because it's the most he has said. What he tweeted yesterday is not insignificant.
I don't think what he tweeted, though, he's asking for a trade. I think he's just aggravated. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think he's asking for a trade this week, but I don't think it's unfair to speculate that he may want out after the season.
Maybe, I guess. But I mean, if they win again, is he really? I mean,
I don't know.
If they win a Super Bowl again and he wants out, doesn't that would speak on him to me? You know what I mean?
To an extent, but there's also something to be said for your being a first team All Pro, which he's not here, right? Because he doesn't get the ball enough. Yeah. The next contract, having that salary be what it is. I mean, you got Jason Avant and Jaws yesterday questioning whether he's even got it in him anymore. I can guarantee you that's going to freaking drive him nuts. That is going to drive him nuts that speculation has now begun, whether he's even as good anymore.
Can I make one quick point about the defense, Jeff?
Sure.
Yeah, so the defense yesterday, I have a lot less concerns about the defense. I think you said it earlier, but I think that a lot of the problems with the defense in the second half was just they were on the field the whole half.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. And
no question.
I'm not really going to go overboard on the defense because they made the plays when they had to. And, you know, Jalen Carter's obviously not at 100%. I'm not really that concerned about the defense.
I agree with
you.
And I'll add this. The Mukuba thing, you know going into a season with a rookie safety, there's going to be a play or two or maybe three, maybe four, where you give up a touchdown because it's a rookie safety. Like, you actually just know that going in. It's almost inevitable. And to have that happen and still win the game is significant. To have that happen where it's almost like a free 7 points for the other team and still win the game.
You offset that.
Is significant.
A blocked punt.
Yeah. No, exactly. Absolutely. all right, one other thing we haven't even covered yet today. It's worth mentioning. We'll talk about it more as we get deeper into the week and in the coming weeks. But, James, as we predicted on Friday, there would be ambiguity from the Philadelphia 76ers about whether Joel will or won't play, when he will or won't play. I mean, I walk away from all those press conferences on Friday, Joel, the coach, the general manager. I still don't know when he's going to play.
It was exactly what we said.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Informationally speaking. Yeah. I mean, no idea.
There's no clue. And you know what part of the problem is? They actually probably don't even know themselves, which at least gives them a little bit of an out. But you just wish they would say it more directly. We don't know when he'll play. When we know, we'll tell you.
Yep.
You know what I mean, James? Because they make it sound like it's part of a plan, but it's really not. They actually, I think, don't know when he'll play. So it's really, really, really,
really
Can
I bring
aggravate.
Up one other thing from the weekend?
Please do.
Do we think Aaron Nola locked in the 4th starter spot?
I think he will get it, but I am not convinced that he should.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too.
Rhea, do you agree with that? Where do you come down?
No, 100%, as soon as I saw that.
Yeah.
Because I just think because of how long he's been here, that contract,
yep.
I think there was a lot of things that they wanted to see that, and they're going to give it to him. But I would have the shortest of leash with him.
Yeah, and they probably will have it pretty short. But I still fear they're going to give the ball to the wrong guy.
I agree. Yeah.
I love Nola. Credit to him finishing strong. But finishing strong is defined by one start, not 1 month. I mean, he had one other good start. I forget exactly
against
when.
Against the Mets.
Three or four or five starts ago. But, I mean, let's be real. It was not a good September. And it was not a good season. But he did at least give them a good start in his final one.
So does he end up piggybacking with Buehler or Taiwan?
Probably to be determined based on how they had to use the bullpen in the game or two leading up to it. I actually think, to be fair to them, you don't know that answer until you know what spot you're in. Mm-hmm. In the games leading up to it. I think that's reasonable. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
It's hard to believe it. In the past hour, I've heard the phrase 9 times and Buehler in the last.
Buehler.
Yeah.
9 Buehler. Times.
9 times.
They are 9 so in there.
So I was rewatching. That's Tommy Boy. But I was rewatching the game last night, and I just got kind of tired of it and started watching some Chaney videos on Instagram. Love those, Rhea, by the way.
I posted, Joe, a video of Chaney looking all around on the last play,
yep.
and I was saying, yes, I'm looking for the flags to fall as well.
So. You're really getting into this Instagram thing,
I'm having fun with it.
What spurred this?
I had been off social media for about 7 years,
yep.
And what I was told was, that Instagram was not the cesspool that Twitter is.
Nicer, yeah.
So it was just more fun. Like, and I see all the videos people post, and I like to post videos. I send videos of my dog to everybody, and I thought, why not share them?
Yeah. You know what's frustrating to me when Facebook becomes not nice?
because it's supposed to be your friends.
Unity, yeah.
And your, you know, your friendly acquaintances. And when that gets, and oftentimes that's political, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, oh, man, can we have a spot here where we all just get along?
And people loved your walk.
Which
I posted your walk back to the table. Got some fun comments on there.
All right, Ed, go ahead, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, kudos to Jalen for not, you know, making the back-breaking mistake, but there were a number of times yesterday to where on some of those, like, curl routes or comeback routes to where, and we see this all the time, like, he has a slow delivery. It's the very deliberate wind up, and, you know, that gives Jamel Dean that extra split second to break on the ball. So, like, if his timing's, and that, this is where it sort of ties into the offensive line, like, so if his timing's off, like, those routes just don't have enough time to develop. So, but I think, you know, what's really going to, you know, the challenge for us this year is last year we were going into a bye week. We had an extra 2 weeks to kind of sort this out. You know, we're right into Denver Broncos week this week. So we're kind of having to do this on the fly with guys that don't have the extra week to rest up. And, you know, talk about what would have been a great week to rest Landon Dickerson, a bye week. But, you know, I think it's a combination of all three, to be honest, between AJ's, whatever he's doing, the play calling. Like, I love the creativity on the play calling, but three of our offensive scoring drives were on, you know, these sort of creative plays. Like, I just love to see, like, a 15-yard dig route that's timed up perfectly and that's executed. And we've done it before, but it's just kind of frustrating that it's not the sort of standard route tree plays are kind of
it's not their bread and butter
right
yeah.
now.
Yep, Ed, good call. It's not their bread and butter. Let's listen to Sirianni in the locker room after the game. I feel like, John, what the Eagles are releasing is getting shorter and shorter. I don't know why. Maybe he's pivoting to the negative and they don't want to put that out. I really don't.
I don't know.
But what we have here is only about 25 seconds, I think.
That is awfully
short. And by the way, we've put the beeps in. Enough of the blank spaces, because you know the Eagles give you the blank spaces when you know we curse. And I said to Lewis, can you put a freaking bleep in? I don't need a freaking blank space. Let's listen to Sirianni yesterday.
We knew that was going to be a dogfight. It's good to start off that way. 4-0 is good, right? It's good. What did we talk about all week, though? Don't let good get in the way of great, right? We got a lot of work to do. Enjoy every second of this. It's hard to win in the National Football League. It's hard to win in the National Football League. It's even harder to win on the road against a good opponent. Enjoy this.
Yeah.
Right? Enjoy it.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong about that at all. But obviously, they got some stuff to clean up. Let's listen to Jalen Hurts after the game. So this is not in the locker room, but at the podium, as he always has after a game. Jalen, his overall view after this game of the team and the win.
You left here after week 4 last year. You were soul searching. Where do you feel like you guys are right now? Would you agree with Jordan that you're in a good place as a team, especially compared to a year ago?
A matter of how you look at it, I think we were in a good place at 2-2 last year. I think we're in a good place now, no different, because we got a lot of opportunity in front of us. And so we're looking at the standard of execution. You guys may look at the record and say, well, you know, be a hound for negativity in some regard. But, you know, regardless of where you are, when you're this early in the season, you're still searching to try and elevate and play to a standard and play to a standard of execution.
That's Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.